Right, Barry, thanks very much for doing this, mate. When we announced you on Twitter, honestly, the response was unbelievable. You broke the internet, mate. You're like you're like Kim Kardashian's arse. Honestly, so. And another thing, you're only Rangers player that we've had that's still got their in here. So there's a wee landmark
for
you.
Listen, I know Tomo, my two boys obviously follow it, and I've seen Tomo and Boydie, but mine's just still full head of hair. People say I'm dying it, but certainly no dying it.
No, mate, it's looking well. I like it. I do like
people say I'm getting better of age.
You're looking trendy, mate. Trendy.
I'm a nice bottle of wine, red wine.
Just before we start, I hope you didn't mind, but I've been getting hammered for my gear, mate, so just a wee message to the boys that have been slaughtering.
I don't mind it. I think you're...
Good, mate.
I'm happy.
That's the first compliment I've had.
Listen, people criticise you. I like people who just don't give two shits. So, you obviously don't give a shit.
Nah. And you're the same, man. This should be perfect, innit? Match made in heaven.
It will be.
We'll just start, I've talked a bit about your son. Uh-huh. He's over in New York just now, isn't he, doing a wee scholarship. What is he, 17, 18?
17. He'd been in the pro youth system for a number of years. And at 15, he just come up to us and says, listen, I'd like to go and try a scholarship. He knew he wouldn't make it full-time to Bonnesville. And he studied really hard at school. He had to get certain results to get into the uni that he wanted to go to. So he dug in there, got 3 A's and a B. Obviously, took his intelligence off his mother, his dad. So he's out there. He's out there for 4 years, and that's 5 weeks now. He's been out, so he's loving it.
Did you used to go and watch him in the pro youth here?
Aye, well, I watched both of my boys, and obviously I watched Kyle, and he was all right. You know what I mean? I'm passionate about pro youth, or youth coming through. I think nowadays they're overcoached. They don't let the boys go out and express themselves and enjoy it. It's all about enjoyment. And I can understand, you get to a certain age, you've got to have tactical awareness and all that. But listen, end of the day, the boys have got to go out and enjoy it as well. And I see too many kids fall out the system, probably saying that they're not good enough at 14 or 15, which is complete nonsense, or no big enough, no strong enough. Everybody grows at different times. Like myself, when I was coming through 14, 15, I was probably the smallest at my age group. Couldn't get into Scotland team at 15 or 16 either, because of the size. And then it's amazing, a year and a half, 2 years later, you're captain of the Scotland under 21s.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get it. I think there's too many coaches make too many mistakes in terms of, are they good enough? Give them a bit of time, work with them, and then see how they progress.
So at Rangers, when you were there, going back to when you were younger, did you feel like you were overcoached? Are we allowed to play? Are we allowed to express yourself?
Well, we were. It's a lot different. I don't know if you've done your coaching badges. I've done B licence, A licence, and Pro licence, and a lot. It's far too much for me in terms of coaching. I like young guys going out and expressing themselves, as I said before. I had John McGregor and John Brown, and it was pretty basic what we'd done. It was a hard warm-up, a passing drill. It was pretty simple. And then 6-7 asides, that was it. They would speak to you leading up to a game a couple of days before it, whoever were playing Celtic or Aberdeen or whatever. They would go through a wee bit of tactical stuff, but that was it. And then if you didn't do well, if they felt in the game something happened that you should have done better with, they would pull you and maybe spend 5 or 10 minutes maximum. Now I feel these young kids are getting in and watching videos for half an hour, 45 minutes, and as you know, football players, their mind span's no great. No. 10 minutes and you switch off.
Nah, because that's it. We had Tommy Burns at Celtic, mate, we were the same. Aye. Passing drill games, 3v3, 4v4.
Yeah, I had TB at Scotland, and that's feed. We box, we game, and then he would have a wee chat with you after it. And I think that's what's missing now.
Because I think I've heard you say before with John Brown and stuff, it's more your personality to help you with, I think. Like Tommy Burns, it was more to making you a better player, getting ready to play for the first team more than telling you how to play all the time.
With Bomber and John McGregor, certainly for me, and like we had obviously Walter Smith and Archie. Walter was obviously the manager, and Archie was the assistant coach, and David Dodds, if you remember him.
Big handsome guy.
Aye. A lot of it was more mental with me. You know what I mean? If I'd done something wrong in a game, say I get sent off, I wouldn't be allowed to train for a week. They would send me to go behind the governing stand and pick up the rubbish for a week. Things like that, to see how I would react. It wasn't more about coaching with me. It was more mental things. And I tell you, sometimes I used to jump in that underground and then get the train home. I used to feel like chucking it. But then I thought to myself, do you know what? I need to prove today that I'm mentally strong enough to play in this first team. Because the biggest, 15 to 17 was the biggest thing for me, the biggest time in my career. Because I was small, I was just in full time. I got took out of school early because I didn't go to school. That was one of the regrets that I should have stuck in a wee bit. But Rangers took me out early. I went full time at 15. And obviously were feeding me porridge and steak to try and put a bit of beef on. But again, they were hard on me. It was hard at times. And some nights, I don't know about yourself, we were in at 8, half 8 in the morning. You weren't getting home to 7, 8 at night.
Mm-hmm. Your jobs and stuff like that as well.
Some days I was thinking, do I want to do this? And then I just say to myself, no. They're obviously doing this for a reason.
So what, when you break into the first team, start training with the first team, and that, what was Walter Smith?
Yep.
So what were you doing well with the reserves? Or
I trained. What they used to do, as I say, is I came in full time at 15, and they used to put me in 15, 16. I used to go and train with the first team maybe once a week, twice a week, but I would still play with the youth team. And at that stage, if you remember, we had Reserve League West and the Reserve League, which I think they've got to get back. The Reserve League, it was great for me at 16-year-old playing with guys like Durante, Coyste, Charlie Miller, Del McInnes. I was playing with guys who had played a lot of games. And then I was also, when you were playing Aberdeen and Dundee United, teams like that, you were playing against guys that had played 250, 300 Premier League games. So I was a 16-year-old up against guys like that. And the learning curve it gave me was unbelievable. Great playing with A guys, but also playing against guys who had been there and done it. And I think that's what's missing now. You look at the system they've got, it's under 20 league. They've been playing against the same boys for they were 10-year-old. I know you're allowed a few overagers, but I go to quite a lot of these games and it is basically under 20s. And again, they're playing against guys who they've been playing against for years. So I don't think they don't learn a lot. Mm-hmm. As when I played against guys, as I said, who had played a number of first team games, and all the wee dirty tricks they got up to, you know what I mean? It was great for me. It was great.
You say, like, playing with McCoist and Durant, would they be hard on you in the reserve games, even though
tough?
Would they?
Oh.
If you gave the ball away, they would?
Oh, they would go through me. And also had John McGregor and John Brown, who people know that they're tough cookies, and you wouldn't get away with much. You know what I mean? I get a few cups smacked off my head, a few hampers thrown at me.
What about, obviously, that first team that was Gascoigne and Loudrop, what was it like training with these sort of players?
Again, it was great. I think Walter and Archie and John McGregor and John Brown probably done that. They gave me a wee taste of it, bring me back out, back down to earth, and I would go and play with the youth team. Mm-hmm. So it gave me that hunger
to get back
to say, you know what, I want to go and play with these guys. Just seeing some of the things they used to do, the way they used to operate. Used to go in and sit in the dressing room and just watch what they would be up to.
Just listening to them. Uh-huh.
Like, it was great. It was great.
How good were they in training? Like, Loudrop,
Gascoigne? They were great. They were total different guys. See, in the dressing room or run about Ibrox at that time, I never had a training ground. I used to go in and obviously get ready and whatever at Ibrox and then travel to West of Scotland cricket ground and training. And it was a laugh and a joke, but yeah. See, when the whistle went for training, oh, these guys were different animals.
Wired,
Oh, different animals. And that's not just who you mentioned, every single player on that first team.
Did you ever get stitched up for Gaza?
No, Gaza was quite good with me. I used to go and, I shouldn't really say this, I used to drive when I shouldn't be driving and go and get my McDonald's. He'd obviously problems with wheat and whatever, but I used to go and get my couple of McDonald's at times with Jimmy Five Bellies. But just some of the things that guy used to do in training was scary, and what a great guy as well.
Because you're centre midfielders, would he pull you aside and give you wee tips and bits of
advice? No, just Gaza. Durante would do it. Stuart McCall, Ian Ferguson, all these guys. Charlie Miller, Del McInnes. Now, you're talking guys who won a number of trophies. And they would maybe think, oh, who's this wee guy coming through? Oh, he's going through our place, but no, they would pull you aside and say, listen, maybe do this better, maybe do that better. And it was great for me, even knowing that I wanted to get where they were. But they were great.
So see how they were all hard on you? Is that something that lived with you throughout your career?
Aye.
Is that why you think you were like?
I probably, if you ask any of the guys who played, they'd probably say I'm a moaning face gay. But I get brought up to win. Mm-hmm. And if I seen somebody not doing something right, I would go through them for the simple fact to try and make them better. Not to be bad. Uh-huh. Not to be bad. Uh-huh. I mean, you probably spoke to a few guys who I've played with and probably say that I'm a moaner or whatever. But no, deep down, I'm a winner. Mm-hmm. And I wanted the best. Whoever I played with, I wanted to make them better. Or try and help them be better. Because when you come to a club at Rangers, there's only one thing, and you've got to win. Mm-hmm. No matter that training, or even a passing drill. If a passing drill wasn't done right, I'd be first to start having a go at people. Listen, yeah, come on, this needs to be done better.
See, all them, the moaners like McCoy's, Durant, did that all come from Walter Smith? Did he encourage them to be like that?
Yep, the standards. If the standards drop, the whistle would go, he would bring them in and say, listen, see if this doesn't improve, the balls will go and you'll get ran.
Even the big players?
He didn't care, no, he didn't care. No. And that was the same, no, just with Walter and Archie. That fizzled down into John Brown and John McGregor when we were the youth team or the reserve team. It was the same, standards dropped, whistle went in, this doesn't improve, you're getting run. And you know what it's like when you're told you're going to run. It improves straight away.
100 mile an hour. Uh-huh. What was, last thing on that, what was Gaz's McDonald's order?
He liked a strawberry milkshake.
Did he?
Aye.
Same here, man.
And a,
as you can see.
A Big Mac. Well, I seen Andre and Chelsea saying that I ate three McChicken sandwiches a week. I don't know what it is. Obviously trying to sell books.
No, is that not right?
No, that's a lot of shit.
Big Macs, wasn't it?
No, it was two or three cheeseburgers. It wasn't McChicken sandwiches.
So, Dick Advocaat arrives at Ibrox.
Yep.
And you're the main man. What do you think Dick seen in you that...
Well, I didn't know this at this stage. It was... I'd broke into the team. I'd made my debut 2 years before that, last game of the season against Hearts, where they had won the league. And it was great for me, again, playing with guys like Gaz and Durant and whatever. And the following season, they were under pressure to go and get the 10 in a row. I was getting frustrated. I was getting in John Brown and John McGregor. At that stage, the reason I was getting frustrated, I'd seen guys who I was playing in the Scotland under-18s starting to get into
their teams
and starting to become regulars at Dundee United and Hearts and clubs like that. So I was getting frustrated. I'd played, I think I need to look back, I think it was 10 or 11 games I was involved in that 10 in a row season that they were going for. I'd done reasonably well, but I just got took back out. No knowing that, going back to the reserves, Dick Advocaat had every game, youth game, reserve game, first team game, all recorded and sent back to him.
Wow.
And I get brought into the office, I get took through to David Murray's and just saying, listen, this guy wants, well, Dick Advocaat wants to offer you a new contract. I just signed a new contract, a 3-year contract, I think it was the season before. And they ripped it up and gave us a 5-year contract, saying that he sees me as the main man. And I didn't understand until he came and he had watched every single game I'd played in. And to be fair, what a coach he was.
So did he bring your game on a lot?
He was great. Simple fact, a guy who'd managed at the highest level gave us the confidence. I mean, the players that he was bringing in, Newman, played at World Cup, Van Bronckhorst went on to be a top player. The list is the length of man. But gave me the confidence to go in and believing in me, to go in and play with these guys. It just took my game to a new level.
How did they help you, the Newmans and Van Bronckhorst? Did you room with Newman? Because he just played in the World Cup semi-final, didn't he?
I get put in, obviously, I got into a bit of, well, I was younger in the youth team and maybe I was in a bit of trouble at times. Mm-hmm. And at the club, maybe getting sent off or getting up to mischief, you know what it's like.
When you
do all that stuff. You just thought putting me in with Arthur would have been the right thing. And it was great. What a guy. Uh-huh.
What did he make of you? But he was, guy
he's probably looking and thinking, who is this wee guy? You know what I mean? Like sitting with a bag of crisps. He totally changed my diet. He helped me that way. It made sure I got up. Didn't like breakfast. He would wake up 8 o'clock in the morning, open the curtains, right up. Piss off, mate. Not up. He would sit on the edge of the bed, uh-huh, make me go up, put my gear on and take me down and make me have breakfast. Things like that. Uh-huh. So he was great. Great guy. and probably the best player, one of the best players that I've ever played with.
Really?
He was top notch. And I can't believe he retired. I think he retired at 32, 33, but he was hard on me. Mm-hmm. He was hard.
Well, as in games and or just everything you're...
Everything about diet, watching what I'm doing. Like, where are you going this weekend? Maybe going out with my mates. Where are you going? Wanted to know everything. It was like, it's like a second dad.
Father figure.
Aye, that's what it was like. So it's great how roles reverse, you know what I mean? Arthur came here, I don't think Arthur ever drank, and then Arthur left here loving a drink.
Did he?
Loves a night out.
He stays in a wee flat in Postle now, doesn't he, Arthur?
Aye,
fuck. Did you ever get him to taste a wee bit of the Iron Bruna? Did you get him on that?
No, I got him on something stronger than that before.
A bit of vodka in it as well.
Aye.
That season, I think you played Leverkusen, the manager said you had the potential to be a £15 million player. Mm-hmm. Champions League. How did that make you feel at that age, being so young and getting these
It's good that, do you know what? I had a good, like my dad and my brother, obviously my brother had played, guys like that, they kept me firmly on the ground. It's great when people say things, you know what I mean? And if you go and play a good game, you know when you play a good game. Mm-hmm. But for a guy, like a top manager and a top team in Leverkusen, to go and say that, it was great. But listen, the plaudits are good and all that, but I didn't let it affect you. You can't let it affect you because you get too big for your boots, you know what I mean? That's only one game. Mm-hmm. That's all right if you do that 300, 400 games. That's no... One game's no good enough, you know what I mean? Then you can maybe sit back and take it if you've done it consistently over a number of years.
Mm-hmm. I think you got Player of the Year that year in 2000, didn't you? And then was it the year after you got the captaincy?
Aye.
How was that taking it off Big Gorgeous Amoruso?
It was difficult. A lot of people say that me and him didn't see eye to eye. We didn't at times, you know what I mean? He was a big passionate Italian stallion, you know what I mean? He didn't like getting a bit of criticism if he turned around and had a go at him. I'm fine with that, you know what I mean? It was a hard one, but it was an opportunity that I couldn't knock back. Mm-hmm. No chance. That was my dream. I'd already done my dream was to play with Rangers, like going and watching Rangers as a young boy with my dad, seeing my brother play. I wanted to follow my brother's footsteps. To go and play with Rangers was unbelievable. Become a regular, great. But then to captain them.
What was your ambition?
It was surreal getting brought in and getting asked when you've got guys like Arthur Newman and Ronald De Boers and Craig Moores, guys who have got loads of experience, getting asked to go and captain. The club that you support was a no-brainer. And do you know what? The guys were great with us. The experienced boys were...
That gives you such a lift, doesn't it, when you know
it does. But a couple of reasons why I probably got it was I had got into a couple of bits of trouble before that. That was maybe to try and make me mature a bit and realise that the potential I had, if it fell, you obviously got to watch what you do at weekends. And obviously seeing that I was a passionate guy, that it was my club and I wanted to win. There was a few reasons why he probably gave me it, but what an honour it was to walk out the first game and have family up and my mates up watching us. It was a great time for me, that.
So was it you just pulled in the office and said, this is it?
Pulled us into the office, he says to us, look, I'm going to relieve Big Ammo with the duties I want. He actually brought Arthur Newman in with me. I want you to be captain. I thought he was going to give Arthur it and me maybe be vice captain. Mm-hmm. And he says to me, I want you to be captain. And then he got everybody in the dressing room and a few looks where the boys were looking, saying, oh, you're only 21, 22, you know what I mean, getting the job. But they were great right up, everybody, shook your hands, forgot about, right, let's just focus on winning now.
And was there a conversation with the big man there, Amoruso?
No, there was no fallout. No fallout whatsoever. He took it like a man. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he was disappointed. I would have been disappointed if it happened to me, but he was, there was no issues whatsoever between the two of us.
The big man was starting to turn like the 52 bus, but he was coming to an end anyway, wasn't he? So it was
Do you know what? He did get a lot of criticism at times at the player, but do you know what? The big man was a winner.
Was he? Aye.
Same in training. Mm-hmm. I had my ding-dongs with him. quite often. But do you know what? I don't mind that.
Nah.
I ding dongs with everybody.
You'd rather somebody like that.
I don't mind somebody having a go back or somebody having a go at me. I quite like that about him. Uh-huh. Listen, that's just football. As I said, I had an opportunity that I couldn't refuse.
So the team didn't do as well over the next couple of years, but managed to salvage a big day for the club when you scored the Scottish Cup, the final against Celtic. What do you remember for that day?
I remember going into that game. Alan McLeish had just, he'd come in, uh-huh. I think, round about there, was it a Christmas time he'd come in? And Celtic were flying, they were flying high. It was a crazy one. The pressure was on Celtic at that stage. I remember going to the game. It was a good week. We had a good build up to it. Training was good. The boys felt good about themselves. And it's my favourite Old Firm game ever to play. And I thought the game had everything. You had two teams going toe to toe with each other. You had the amount of ability on that park. Mm-hmm. was frightening, and it was end-to-end stuff constantly, and to score the goal, Celtic were on top, we were on top for 5 minutes, it was just back and forth, it was a great game, and I remember just Big Ammo again come up, I was like, out the way big man, no chance of you getting this, I just had a vision mm-hmm. that I was going to score, and I don't know if he took the hump or whatever, but I wasn't caring, I took the ball and I just, you get that feeling. Yeah, you must have had that feeling sometimes. Oh, right, I want this. I'm going to do this. And the score was great. I knew I ran to the corner for the simple fact as I knew all my mates were in that corner, and my brother was up there, and they were saying that after I'd scored, they all stopped celebrating, and they were like 10, 15 rows further down. They went mental. Yeah, and then to score on the last kick of the ball, wee Terry, Neil McCann up the line, and crossed it in for Lovenkranz to score. Mm-hmm. But it was my favourite game to play in. And to watch, it must have been some spectacle for Scottish football. Different. Uh-huh. And the talent on show.
Brilliant, eh?
Was. Back then, they games, I was speaking to Paul Lambert about it a couple of weeks ago. I bumped into him, I think it was on radio. And the ding dongs it used to have, the calibre of player it was on show. Like, forming out the window, if we were in form, Celtic weren't they in form, it didn't matter whoever turned up in the day, who produced in the day. And as I say, the talent, like your Larson, Marabcheks, Hartson, Suttons, Petrovs, and then we had De Boers, Newmans, Rainers, Caniggia,
brilliant.
Neil McCann.
Top players everywhere.
It was top uh-huh. players. It was a great time to play, and it was a great time to be involved in the sort of games.
See, winning the games, how good is the feeling, being the captain and stuff like that? What is a typical night after an Old Firm win? Just ties a kite ahead.
Aye, well, obviously, that was a cup final, so you have a party back at Ibrox and you're celebrating it.
Is there a wee phone call to your father? No, he's a big Celtic man.
Aye.
Would there be a...
No, he would probably turn the phone off, to be honest with you. Aye. But not the party would go on for 3 days.
How hard would you take an Old Firm defeat? What would it be, a box of paracetamol and a bottle of vodka?
Listen, I made a mistake after one of the games. I got sent off and I come back. A couple of my mates were up for down south and I went out and had a couple of beers and I got into a bit of trouble after a game. And after that, you kind of go after the games. No matter if you win or lose or draw, you've got to go back. And if it's a defeat, it's the end of the world for me. Hmm. I wanted a game...
The next day.
Aye, I needed a game right away. I needed to. What I would always say to myself, and I would say to the boys in the dressing room, remember that last game? Celtic beat us. How did it feel? Horrible feeling. No matter if you were playing a Hearts or a Hibs the following week, you had to get Celtic again, you know what I mean? It's one of the ones. And the Celtic players would feel the same. It's a horrible feeling. Horrible feeling.
Seeing the Old Firm games over the years, who was the toughest competitors that you came up against in the middle of the park? Was there one you enjoyed playing against? Or?
I enjoyed them all. I mean, as I say, I had a lot of time for Neil Lennon. He got quite a bit of criticism of the type of player he was, but he was a player that Celtic needed. You know what I mean? He wouldn't go and win you a game, but he just sat in the middle and he'd done a great job. Uh-huh. Stan Petrov, thought he was an excellent player. Uh-huh. Paul Lambert, another guy I had a lot of respect for. No, some good battles. Roy Keane was probably one of my favourite midfielders of all time. I know he's a Celtic man, but you've got to see what he'd done with Man United.
Play against?
Aye, he was coming at the end of his career, you know what I mean? But it was great to play against him. But there were some good battles. Lenny was probably the battle. But Celtic man, through and through. I'm obviously brought up a Rangers man. Two guys just wanted to win, and people don't realise during that game, hated each other, wanted to kill each other, basically, to win for your team after the game. It's all forgot about, the respect's there. And you'd bump in at him a few times and there'd be no problems. People couldn't believe that you'd be sitting maybe if you bumped into him having a beer. You'd be looking, thinking, you're not meant to talk to him. You know what I mean? Of course you're meant to talk to him. During that game, I want to beat him. He wants to beat me. But I forget about that after it, as you say. I've got mates who are Celtic fans. I've got my father-in-law, he's the biggest Celtic fan I think you'll ever get. So that doesn't bother me. During the game, when I'm playing against them, of course I want to win and I want to beat them.
Because I always think, do you understand like how hard it is to play for Celtic? Like, obviously it must be, because the pressure's unbelievable.
It's got to be the same.
There's a mutual respect because you understand how the pressure you're under.
You've got to win all the time. It's all about winning.
Somebody's got to lose.
And I'll go back to it again, what I was saying with John McGregor and John Brown and Archie and Walter. I get brought up with win, win or win. A draw, I'm not happy. A defeat, it shouldn't happen at a club like Rangers. And it'll be the same at Celtic. I mean, you come through at Celtic, it must have been the same with TB there. And guys like that, if you trained with the first team, that's what it was all about, winning. And I get brought up with that fair, went full time at 15. And that's what probably made me the type of character I was. People don't know you on the pitch. Well, like him, his face is always screwed up, he's fucking horrible, blah, blah, blah. Off the park, totally different. On the park, nah, I'm going to win at any cost.